Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views.
Welcome back to News and Views. I'm Rob Schofield. When the Reverend Dr. T. Anthony Spearman of Greensboro ascended to the presidency of the North Carolina NAACP last year, he had some big shoes to fill. For years, of course, the state NAACP had been led by the Reverend William Barber, founder of the Moral Mondays movement and an increasingly prominent national leader. Happily for all involved, Spearman has enjoyed a smooth transition and quickly established himself as a forceful spokesman for civil rights and social justice with his own powerful and unique voice. I caught up with Reverend Spearman earlier this week as he traveled to Raleigh to file a lawsuit challenging the legality of 4 of the 6 constitutional amendments that state lawmakers are attempting to place on the November ballot. Well, Reverend Spearman, welcome to News and Views. Thanks for being with us this morning.
Thanks for having me, Rob.
You know, as we record this, I know you're headed to Raleigh to be a part of a press event in which you're talking about the new lawsuit that the NAACP has brought on. I guess it's actually the anniversary of the Voting Rights Act. It's a lawsuit challenging the constitutional amendments that will be on the ballot this November. Can you tell us a little bit about this lawsuit and why the NAACP has brought it?
Yes, sir. Well, the lawsuit we are challenging actually 4 of the 6 proposed constitutional amendments that will be on the ballot in November, and genuinely believe that we have the standing in all 4, as the North Carolina NAACP has for 109 years been putting forth a valiant effort to ensure that the voting rights of individuals, especially minorities, is protected and not suppressed.
Well, so the premise of this lawsuit, I guess, is a little different than some we've heard before. Some people have been challenging the actual language that some of the lawsuits are, some of the actual language of the amendments, and saying that they're deceptive. This goes a little further. It argues, as I understand it, that indeed the legislature is an unconstitutionally constituted legislature. They're really not, should not be in a position right now to be amending the Constitution when they were empowered through an illegally gerrymandered legislative districts. Am I right about that?
This is correct. You are exactly correct. And it has been something, it has been a dream of mine that attorneys would rise up and challenge that, because it seems to me that this usurper General Assembly would be challenged not to enact any laws, actually, because of their composition. And so, we're taking it a step further, as you said, and not only challenging the vagueness of the language that's being used and how it's going to confuse voters, but also the fact that the General Assembly is an unconstitutionally constituted body based on the gerrymandering that has occurred, and the Supreme Court has basically declared this to be so. We're approaching it from a deeper standpoint, I believe.
That's very interesting. Well, let's talk a little bit about the vagueness issue, though. That's another matter here. We've got 6 constitutional amendments on the ballot in November, and several of them, literally, it's pretty clear voters are not going to understand. If they just merely base their choice and their decision upon the language that they read on the ballot on that Tuesday in November, they're really not going to know what they're voting for, especially when it comes to some of these amendments that would remove power from the governor, but also even with respect to the so-called voter ID amendment. Can you talk to us a little bit about that?
That's exactly right. We just see this as deception, just clear and blatant deception of the voters. The language in its vagueness just seems to us to be praying, P-R-E-Y-I-N-G, and playing on the vulnerabilities of the people. And this has been the practice of the General Assembly for quite some time now. And we're quite intentional about attempting to make sure that we help voters to understand that they have a right to know. And of course, it will entail, if these constitutional amendments are placed on the ballot, what it's going to entail is the North Carolina NAACP diverting funding that would ultimately be used in other areas to this, trying to educate individuals about the actuality of the of these constitutional amendments and just what they are going to do. We're very concerned about the language in which they're couched in.
Let's talk a little bit more about the voter ID amendment, which of course has been front and center for a lot of people who care about voting rights and civil rights. We've had a little experiment in the past with voter ID in North Carolina, and it didn't go very well. This particular amendment just sort of vaguely describes that people would have to show photo ID, but doesn't say anything about what kind of photo ID would work. So what did you say? It's fair to say voters really, if they were to adopt this constitutional amendment, really wouldn't be sure what they were enacting.
That's exactly right. It seems to us that if this were something that was genuinely favorable to the people, that we believe that going in, it would be precisely clear as to what types of photo IDs are going to be allowed, expected, and the kinds of photo IDs that people need to prepare themselves to go out and get. But of course, too, you know, Rob, that the North Carolina NAACP and some others challenged the state with the monstrous House Bill 589, in that there was an attempt to get voter ID. And it was declared by the Fourth Circuit Court that with surgical precision, the General Assembly sought to suppress the vote of African Americans and other minorities. And here they come back trying to couch this in different language, repackaging it in a way that is purported to put it before the people. But of course, with their deception, they're seeking to put it before the people in this way and believing that it will get through because the people, you know, basically for individuals, they don't see a problem with photo ID, and so they think that they can get it in that way.
I think it's important to remind our listeners that while a lot of us take photo identification for granted, the reality of the matter is that there are hundreds of thousands of North Carolinians for whom government-issued photo ID is just not part of their lives. They've either aged out of it, they're too poor to have ever perhaps owned a car, they may live in an area where it's not convenient to go get a license or a photo ID, they don't need it, and they've never had it. And of course, these people tend to be disproportionately people of color, disproportionately older folks, and so these people would face real hardship and roadblocks in voting were such a law to go into effect.
That's exactly right. And it was made clear with the challenge of the House Bill 589 that Ms. Rosanelle Eaton, who is now 95 and growing frailer day by day, she talked about her history with voting experience. And of course, she has a voter ID, but not many people her age who are minorities are able to have it like she does. So you're exactly right. Many of the people do not have photo ID. And their means by which to get photo ID is very, very perplexing. So the General Assembly that we're presently dealing with, I think, in essence, knows that the electorate is turning. And one of the things that I am keenly aware of is that because of the Browning of America, they realize that their days are numbered, and so they're going to do everything they can as an end-run kind of measure to protect what they've come to know. And so we have these challenges that we're going to have for God knows how long, but we're going to continue to fight the good fight on behalf of the people of North Carolina and seek to do all that we can to educate them to really know what they're up against and what they're dealing with, and to be very, very clear in our messaging.
We wish you all the best with your efforts to bring some justice to these matters, and hopefully we'll get past this period in which the courts are having to decide these issues, and we'll get back to a time in which we can have a legitimate General Assembly that really represents the people and in which they'll be doing the work for all North Carolinians going forward.
We're indeed prayerful to that end. Thank you, Rob. I really appreciate talking with you this morning.
Up next, what's up with the Trump administration's latest scheme to allow sale of junk health insurance plans? We'll find out from one of the state's leading health policy experts.